Hello and welcome everybody to a new episode of Boutique Digital Marketing. In today's episode, we will be answering three very important questions, these questions that linger in your head and you don't even know you have them. Question number one, why should you care about global trade? Question number two, what's influencer marketing and why should you, as a business owner in today's world, actually care about it? What? And number three, we have our expert, Julie Latouf, our wonderful consultant, to tell us a bit about what should you do with your career. So there you have it, some career advice, some questions to be answered. Stay tuned. All right, are you ready to tackle our first question? Why should you care about global trade? Here's the thing. Not to sound like a cliche, but with the internet, the world is at our fingertips. That means that business-wise, businesses are more interconnected than ever. As a business owner, it is imperative. Let me say that again. It is imperative to have a global vision. That is a vision that basically allows you to react to international businesses, both to find opportunities, great business opportunities, as well as being aware of the competition. These opportunities, you guys, can include obtaining raw materials at a better deal, maybe shipping. For example, think about it. What is the most efficient way to get your products to your customers? If you have a global vision, then you may be able to understand, oh, well, this person's offering this service for much less. Maybe I should ship with this company rather than that. Or maybe you are offering a service and someone else in a different country is offering that same service that you are offering, and for some reason, your customers keep going there. Having an international, a global vision or an international vision really in business gives you the opportunity to see, oh, okay, so this is what my competitor is doing, or see, this is where I can find a better opportunity for me. So another side of business globalization is that you may be able to find business opportunities in different parts of the world. You may be able to find, if you're in the US, maybe you'll find business opportunities in Lebanon. Or maybe you hire a freelancer from Lebanon and he is able to do, or she's able to do, what you need done from that part of the world, tailored to that particular audience. Here's an example. McDonald's. Everywhere in the world, everywhere you go, there's probably a McDonald's. However, the McDonald's that you have in the US looks completely different than the McDonald's they have in different countries. Why? Because McDonald's deals with international business in a different way than they do in each country. They understand their target audience or their target customers, and they tailor their business to that particular market. The reasons why they do that is because globalization opens the doors for new opportunities. But these opportunities don't always look exactly the same as they do in the original country. So the US was the original place for McDonald's, yet somehow McDonald's here looks different than McDonald's in France. And people regard it differently as well. Because globalization opened the door for McDonald's, but they had to be able to adapt. And they had to have a global mission or vision to be able to understand what that market demanded. So if we want to work in other markets, we have to understand something that is extremely important, and that is importing and exporting. A major, 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 major component of global trade is import and export. In fact, it is so important that 1/3 of U.S. farming is devoted to crops that will be exported. That's 1/3 of U.S. farming crops. That's a crazy number. Here's our example. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, more than 90 million acres are planted with corn. 10 to 20% of those grains are exported to other countries. 90 million acres, 10 to 20% of those 90 million acres are exported to other countries. So, although the U.S. exports a fair amount of these products, and it is a pretty large amount, it still imports more than it exports. And that's not necessarily a good thing. So we don't want to keep bringing other people's products into the country. Not because we don't like them, but because we need $2.5 trillion in import. GDP. $2.5 trillion in import. And only $1.6 trillion in export. That, my friends, puts the country at a huge trade deficit. And ideally, we want to be exporting into the country or out of the country more than importing into it. We want to be able to give our products more than bring them in. So now that we have those basics covered, back to our original question. Why should you care? Why do you care about this? So here's the super exciting thing. With trading, when you have import and export, you also have an opportunity to do free trade. I know that seems to some of us or to some small businesses like a crazy idea, but with the e-commerce world, literally the world is open for you. But here we're going to talk about, that's a little bit of a different story. We are going to talk about free trade. Free trade allows you as a business owner to buy and sell product and services without restrictions. It also allows you to outsource your work for possibly a cheaper price. So again, maybe you are working in the United States and you want to hire someone in Lebanon, maybe because for some reason the prices there are cheaper. And so you end up hiring someone there, that would be you outsourcing your work to a different country. However, as we do something that, to be aware of that is that while importing and so while we're importing and exporting, there are tariffs that we should be aware of. But there are also some really good international communities that we are going to talk about in the next episode that you should definitely know about that can help reduce these tariffs. All right, so what are tariffs? Tariffs are taxes. They are taxes imposed by countries on the goods and services that enter its borders. These are agreements between countries that regulate between countries that regulate these trades. So for example, the US, Mexico, and Canada have a free trade agreement. Previously, that free trade agreement was called North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA. Today, now that agreement has been amended very recently, and it's now called US Mexico, Canada Agreement, or USMCA. The point of this agreement is to ease trades between these countries. It means that you would be able to import things from Mexico and export them to Canada without additional tariffs. So each country has its own free trade agreements. The US, for example, has free trade agreements with 20 countries, each of them particular to that country. Knowing this will help you expand your business beyond the borders of your country. This could be to import a part of a product that you have to make, or maybe to export parts that others will need to make for their product. Whatever the case is, being aware of these laws is essential. If you're looking to have a global vision, you have to know about these international communities. In fact,
but honestly,
being aware of these policies
knowing
may
these
help
policy,
you share
that
policies and being aware of them may help you shape
earlier,
your global vision. What I mean by that is that it could inspire you to make deals that you never thought were possible. Think about it. The U.S. has 20 different free trade agreements with different countries. How could that benefit you? Consider them an open door. Now, to keep these doors opened, the governments all around the world are constantly negotiating to continue trade deals. These, of course, are called or known as trade negotiations. One of the most important negotiations was the Uruguay Round. Now, the Uruguay Round was established in 1994 and has since then been signed by 148 different countries. And the point of it was to reduce tariffs by one-third worldwide. So not only that, but for the first time ever, intellectual property rights were a part of the trade deals. Now, people work really hard to make movies or to make softwares. When you had other countries that are coming in and basically allowing their citizens to pirate these without any intellectual property right, well, that is unfair to the developers. So now with this, with the Uruguay Round, we had some intellectual property rights, and that was a very big deal. And another major player in trade negotiation would be the World Trade Organization. It is the most powerful organization when it comes to reducing trade barriers between countries. Here are some of the benefits of being a part of the WTO, or the World Trade Organization. They make sure that their members comply with the Uruguay Round, and they lower the trade barriers among their members. So these are some of the benefits. The countries that don't belong to the organizations have to negotiate their own deals with the countries they wish to trade with. Now, this is more of general information, but this is how and why your property or your services are being protected. Let's say you're selling intellectual property. This is how it got protected. So kind of a general idea of how things work in trade negotiations. So now that you know all this amazing information, we are going to take a little break. And when we come back, we are going to be talking about what is influencer marketing and why you need it. This is a digital marketing show, a digital marketing platform. Let's make sure that your business is thriving in the digital world. Stay tuned. We are coming back. So what is influencer marketing? Now, influencer marketing is basically getting someone who's an influencer on social media to endorse your brand or your product. A really good example of that, or a company that did really well with that, was Sprint. Now, if you don't know what Sprint is an American phone company, and it's not like the top tier phone company. It's one of those that is upcoming. Now, they did something very, very creative. What they did was launch a campaign called hashtag Live Unlimited. So what they did was they gathered some of the most influential people on Instagram and put them all in an ad together. And the way they did this is that they picked musicians, entrepreneurs, motivational speakers, bodybuilders, basically to tap into every single market that they'd want to be in and reach out to these fans. Together, all these people that they had in the ad totaled around 30 million followers. So with their ad, what they couldn't do on television anymore, they were able to do majorly with influential or influencer marketing. So they gathered all these people in one ad and they reached their audience in that way. This is something that would have probably been impossible to do otherwise, or if you just had one celebrity. And these are not just celebrities, these are people from different careers that have different audiences attached to them, and these people have some kind of an influence over that audience. For example, in the case of the bodybuilder, his interest and the people who are following him are people that want to know about bodybuilding and about health. And what was really interesting about this particular campaign is that Sprint, they didn't look for influencers and have those influencers play a role in their narrative. They picked influencers that would already fit the role that they would need to reach their particular audience. This gave credibility to the campaign because the people who are influenced by these influencers are looking for a specific type of material. They are on that person's page for a particular reason. And since that's the case, they wouldn't expect that person to kind of sell their self out for a company, for an ad, but rather to remain true to what it is that they are doing or that they are supporting. In this case, this is what they did. And that is influencer marketing done correctly and done to the best of anyone's abilities. Now, Sprint had a lot of money to put it down on this campaign and to make it grow. But here's the thing. I know that you're probably thinking, oh, I can't do this and it's too big and I don't have enough budget for something like this. I'm not Sprint, a multi-million dollar company. That may be true, but that doesn't mean that you cannot use influencer marketing. What you can do is find people in your niche or find the people that you that control the audience that you'd want to create. That doesn't mean they have to have millions of followers. They can maybe have 20,000 followers, 30,000 followers, 100,000 followers. Start with small numbers. Connect with these people. And you know what? Sometimes you don't have to create a money-based partnership, especially if they're still starting out. They still have a big influence, but it's not as big as Sprint. And in this case, if you have a particular product that you're showcasing, maybe tell them, hey, I will sponsor you by giving you these shirts. And that might work. So you have to work with every influencer a little bit differently. But that doesn't mean that you cannot benefit from this. Think about it and find the correct people based on how much your budget is and how would you like to reach out to these people and what kind of market you want. And the thing is, as they grow, you will grow as well. So that's a little bit on influencer marketing. So why does your business need influencer marketing versus other types of marketing? Well, here's the thing, you guys. With this new age of media, ads aren't as effective as they were before. And when I talk about ads, I'm talking about the traditional ads that you see in that come in the mail or you see on television or whatever, or even the banners that you see on websites, these aren't effective anymore. Think about it yourself. If you see an ad on Facebook, you can't wait until you click past it. Or if that banner shows up, you just automatically want to hit the X button. You don't even know what the banner is for. Most of the time, that's the case. So the reason why this is happening is that people don't trust these things anymore. They trust recommendations from people they trust, versus recommendations from the brand itself. So when you have someone that the audience trusts and respects and they want to follow, then you have someone who can leverage your brand. Now, when I say that, I'm not just talking about celebrities. I am talking about those people that you pin their posts on Pinterest, or the people you save their posts on Instagram. Those are the people that you trust for reliable information. In terms of, maybe you love cooking, and there's a huge influencer in that field, and your company sells frying pans. Well, maybe that's one thing that you can connect. Maybe have the influencer say, hey, I love this brand, this is what I'm doing. Well, if you follow this person, if the audience follows this person and they trust them, they've tried their cooking recipes, they've tried their tips, and it's been working for them, then they would trust them on this product as well. And the idea here is not to con people. You have to create good products, good content. You have to produce good content that people want to listen to. It's essential, or people want to use. It's really essential for you to be doing that before reaching out to influencers, because influencers have a name that they want to maintain, and they have a trust relationship that they want to keep. And that's why in the sprint, they didn't get the people, or a sprint example, they didn't get the influencers and had them play a character in the story. They picked the people that they thought would fit exactly based on what their personalities or what their areas of expertise are. And that is how you need to look at influencer marketing. And that is why your business needs it. Because traditional ads are not as effective as they were before. It's all about building trust. Here's another reason for you to consider
influencer marketing. Influencer marketing. You are not using it already.
According to Adweek, which is basically a leading source of news in brand marketing, according to them, for every dollar that you spend, you earn on influencer marketing campaign, you earn an average of $6.85. That's a pretty good amount for the dollar. That's a pretty high return on investment in the case of marketing. So one thing that I would tell you, if you are looking into influencer marketing, a really big thing would be, a really big platform to start on would be Instagram. Instagram is really good for engagement and branding. It's just a really good platform to see how well influencer marketing works, and but it is not good for immediate sales. So kind of think about it that way. It is, you sow the seed and you wait for it to grow over time. With that aspect of the show covered, let's now jump into our conversation with our amazing guest. Our amazing guest today is just a wonderful girl. She's extremely smart. She's extremely brilliant. And she is here today to tell us about some wonderful, wonderful career advice that I'm pretty sure a lot of us need. Without further ado, let's welcome Julie Latouf to the show. Julie has an MA in international management and entrepreneurship. She's gone to different countries to do various different things in internships. She's worked in healthcare. She's worked in tech. She's worked in software.
She is works in talent optimization. She is one of the coolest people I know. And this cool girl has also started her own consulting company. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Rita. Thank you so much for having me today.
Welcome to the show. I'm so excited that you're here.
I am too. This is great.
So, Julie, tell us a little bit about your consulting company.
Sure. So after I graduated with my master's, I started a consulting company. I was actually on the market looking for a job and I couldn't find one. I found jobs that I was either overqualified for or companies would call me and say, oh, you know, we went and we hired somebody internally. And at this point in time, I was already doing consulting, but it wasn't official. Like, people would come to me for advice, whether it was career growth, networking, public speaking, and just transforming their lives. And I was really passionate about this. I was also connecting with a lot of business owners just randomly and through word of mouth. And I was helping them with different business problems that they were having, whether it's solving employee retention or social media marketing. And I absolutely love doing this. So after I graduated from school and I couldn't find a job, I decided to just start up my own consulting company. I mean, what the heck? Why not? And a lot of people think that it's very pricey to start up a consulting company. But the reality is, it's not that pricey. All you need is a website, some great business cards, some social media like platform to use, taking payments, and register your business, and you're good to go.
And a great depth of knowledge
yes.
on the subject that you're consulting on.
For sure. Oh, yes, for sure. Most definitely. And you have to follow your heart and follow your dream. Whatever you think you're really good at and you would love to get paid for something, chances are you can probably get paid to do something you absolutely love doing. Many people think that they have to go to school, find a job, and work a 9-to-5 for the rest of their life. That's not true. You can actually make your passion into your dream. And if you don't have, if you don't work for, let's say, a big organization, you can work for yourself. And sometimes that is more rewarding because you are doing something that you are passionate about and you're really good at.
Now, of course, as I always say, you do have to think logically about things in terms of jobs. So you can't, like, do you think that when you go after your dreams, should you abandon everything else, or should you be, you know, working in conjunction with other things to get there?
Sure. So the safe side of things is, of course, you stay at your stable job. You're making your income, you're making a steady paycheck. That is for sure the steady and easier way to do it. And then you're starting your consulting business on the side. However, when your consulting business takes off, you really want to dedicate most of your time to that. And at some point in time, you might not be able to juggle both things. For me, for example, there was no way I could have a full-time job and do my own consulting company. After my consulting company took off, I decided that, hey, no more job for me. I'm not going to be job searching. I don't want to go back into the workforce because this is my life and you really need to dedicate your time and effort into this and to actually grow a business. But if you were just starting out as a consultant, I would highly recommend you stay at your stable job that is stable income and start working on the side, doing something that you love to do. Grow your skills, grow your knowledge, do a lot of research. Implement everything that you've learned from your past experiences into a new business and then really focus on that business and grow it.
And Julie, you've been able to do these things and you're fairly young. How old are you, Julie? Putting you on the spot today. How old are you, Julie?
Yes, you are putting me on the spot. You never ask someone their age. I am 27 years old.
I'm only asking because I'm super proud of all your accomplishment, girl.
Thank you, Rita. Thank
you so are, much. You're 27, you've got your own business, and one thing is that if you can do it, other people can do it too. And I think a lot of people don't realize that.
Oh,
is that
sure.
They are capable of actually doing things.
I think people underestimate their abilities. They hear a lot of things on the media and, you know, you're supposed to go to that traditional school, go into a traditional job. But the reality is, if you really put your mind and heart into something, you can achieve anything and everything. Any goal that you have, any dream that you have, I know this sounds really cliche, and you might think it's way too far in the future and you'll never be able to get there. But trust me, you will get there. You just have to believe, have a passion for life, and be grateful for every single thing you have, because you never know. Somebody out there in the world has it way, way worse than you do. Just be grateful for everything you have, and your blessings will multiply. And you can achieve it. Just follow your dreams, and you can achieve anything that you put your mind to.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned school and then going and getting a 9-to-5 job, or going to get a job that, you know, like the typical job that we think of after university. We actually talked today about fictional unemployment, which is, as just a reminder for everybody, fictional unemployment basically is when there is, you're looking for that job for that first time. What should you look for? If you're saying here, follow your dreams, and people, maybe like recent college grads, they are looking for their job for that first time. It's not related to the business cycle. It's not related to any other factors that they're unemployed. They're just maybe doing this for the first time. What would you tell them?
My secret of life and business and anything is networking. Your network is your net worth, and 85% of either job opportunities, career advancements, or anything along those lines are through your network. My business was grown solely through my network. The job I currently have is solely through my network. Everything that you do is through your network. So I highly recommend recent graduate students to use their network. Do an outreach, have a profile on LinkedIn, connect with as many people as you can. See who is in a position where you want to be and do an informational interview. That way you know, is this the job that you really want, or does it look glamorous on the outside, but on the inside it's really not as good as you think it is.
So, and, yeah. Can you, sorry to interrupt you, but can you make these terms a little bit more from the, what seems to be kind of like the fictional, which I've personally, before I went through all the business school and before I got my MBA and before I did everything, people would tell me these things like, oh, go on LinkedIn, network with these people. And I know that it was, at that time, it was really hard to understand what they are talking about. It's like someone telling you, make a cake for me, but you don't know what the ingredients are. So what does it take for someone who is looking to network? How do they network? Where do they start? And not just, you know, create a LinkedIn page, but you want people to see that page. So what do they do to get that page seen?
So one thing I really recommend to students is going and attending live events. And now, due to the coronavirus, you might not be able to attend live events, but you can still network virtually. When you meet somebody for the first time, you make a connection with them, whether it's their background, some interest that you and them have. It could be personal, it could be professional. They might like sports, or it could be something along the lines of you want to be at their position in 5 to 10 years from now. So you make some sort of connection. Whenever you are networking with somebody, don't go up to them and say, I'm looking for a job, or I would love to have a job here, or something like that. When you are networking, especially you're meeting somebody for the first time, you want it to be a mutual relationship. So you ask somebody, oh, that's, you know, you talk to them about their business or their career path or whatever it might be. And then you can ask them, how can I help you? Or if you're interested in their nonprofit, for example, like, how can you help their nonprofit? Can you share it on your social media platforms? Can you help them raise money? And you start, just do little things of gratitude and just do little kind gestures to people, and you would be surprised where this network would lead you later on. So for example, if I meet Rita today, I might say hi to her. I might know her as, you know, a person that I just met. However, 5 to 7 years from now, you never know where Rita is, where I am, and how we can connect for the future. So whenever you are networking, don't think about it as, I need this person right here, right now. They need to help me now, and I need to help them now. You think about networking as a long-term relationship, and you are just building the foundation right now.
So what do they do? Yes, it does. But what do they do if they need someone right now? Like, if you put yourself, and I know you were there in, you know, the early 20s, right? When as soon as you graduated from your bachelor's, you probably were looking for a job, and at times it takes months and it takes years sometimes to even get that job that you want. What do you do then? How do you network in that instance?
Sure. So for college students, you would go to career fairs and you start making a connection with people. And when you are making a connection with somebody, don't sound so eager that you are dying to have this job, like it's life or death. You want it to be very casual, very open. Be honest with the recruiter who's hiring you. Attend as many events as you can. And I know I mentioned this before about the LinkedIn profile, but it is so valuable to have a LinkedIn profile. And I'm not saying just go on LinkedIn and add as many people as you want and as you can. That's not how you build a relationship and a foundation. The way you build a relationship and a foundation is, let's say you do see somebody on LinkedIn that you'd like to connect with. You send them a message and then you start talking to them, whether it's about their background, you're interested in the project they worked on, or you're interested in the company they work for, and you slowly start building that. And for college students that are looking for jobs right now, the job market is hot. I mean, look at CareerBuilder, Indeed.com, all these different websites. They have a foundation of where you can find a job and where you can connect to people that can help you find a job. You can even contact recruiters who their full-time job is finding other people's jobs.
So here's my issue with things like LinkedIn or Indeed. LinkedIn for finding job, not for networking, but LinkedIn or Indeed or any of these job-seeking websites is that when you apply, a lot of people just feel that their application is never going to be seen, like they are a number. So how do you filter through that?
So that comes back to networking. If you are applying for, let's say, a job at a corporate company and you go on LinkedIn and you find somebody who maybe who works in their HR department and you connect with them and you say, "Oh, hi, my name is Julie and I'm looking to apply for this job. I'm really interested in the company." And you actually connect with a recruiter internally, your chances are more likely like you're going to be getting the job or at least going in for the initial interview. But that's how you actually would take the first step to get there. You would either reach out to your network. Sorry,
Would
go
you
ahead.
recommend finding the maybe the hiring manager or maybe someone who works in the industry and contacting them that way, or at the
Yeah.
job site and contacting them that way?
Yeah, so depending on the role and what exactly it's going to entail. So for example, if you are going to be working as, let's say, a patient administrative assistant or something, you want to find somebody, first of all, who's actually in that role at that company, so you can actually get a sense of that job and that role, because you never know, maybe that person in that same exact job in the role in the industry and in the company, maybe they're miserable. Maybe they have a lot of insides that you will not see online. They won't be on Glassdoor. They won't be on any other website. So it's really nice to connect with somebody internally that's doing the same job that you want to be doing and say, "Oh, I'm applying for the same job that you currently have. How do you like it? What's the environment like?" And just be open and honest with them, because you never know who you're going to be connecting with. And surprisingly enough, more people are open to tell you about their background, their story, what they're currently doing. Do they really like their job or do they hate their job? And then you can actually reach out to HR and say, "Hey, I applied to this position. I'm really interested." You can even attach your resume sometimes, but ahead of time, you can say, "Hey, I applied online. I'm really interested in this job. Please let me know if you have any questions. I just figured I'd connect with you so you can have my professional LinkedIn profile."
Would you recommend them connecting before? Like, let's say there is a job position that they really want and it's not available yet. Would you recommend connecting with someone before that job is available again at that
Oh,
institution?
definitely. I would recommend connecting to somebody even before a job is available, because once that job is available online for the entire world to see, anybody can apply for that job. But let's just say you met somebody 2 or 3 weeks prior to the job opening and you connected with them and they really liked you, you really liked them, they loved your energy, you loved the position, you loved the organization that you're going to be working for, and it was just like a quick match. They are going to remember you, and you're going to be top of mind for them rather than going through a million applications. I mean, recruiters hate going through all these applications. I talk to recruiters all the time and they tell me it's so tedious to go through resumes. And that's why they actually have computers nowadays to actually pick up keywords. So when you are submitting your resume online, it's going into a system. No filter, nothing. It's, well, the electronic system is filtering out keywords. If your resume makes it to the next round, that's when an HR recruiter or somebody internally from the company gets it. That's why I say connecting to somebody on LinkedIn is really important, because you want your resume to go in there. You want to be asked to come in for an interview. So that's why it's really important to connect.
Honestly, one of my personal experiences, most of my jobs that I've gotten in teaching at university level has been through connecting with people before the job has been even available.
Yeah.
And repeatedly until I actually got the jobs, to the point where when they were looking for to hire, they wouldn't consider anyone else because all my information had been there for a while.
Exactly. And so, they've already met you. They like you. They know who you are, your work ethic, you know.
So establishing relationship is a key thing. One thing that actually I wanted to point, I was reading a book called Decisive, and one thing that they talked about, and this is in reference to what you were talking about earlier, is that when you're talking to someone from the company, try to get to something realistic, the realistic view of what that job would be like, because if you're not hit with reality, you're going to be expecting things that may not be real. So that reality doesn't deter people. It's more like a vaccine, which I thought was very interesting.
That is very interesting you say that. I mean, people think the grass is always greener on the other side. Or as we were talking about earlier, it might appear glamorous on the outside, but what is an employee really going through on the inside? Are they being overworked? Are they being like challenged in the wrong ways? Are their career not growing? Did they hit a glass ceiling? So you really have to see what does that job really entail. And it's really helpful to get an inside source.
That is absolutely true. That is all the time we have for today. Thank you so much, Julie, for joining me. You really are great, and I really look forward to talking to you more in other episodes and having you. Your insight is absolutely valuable. If people want to connect with you for consulting, what should they, how should they contact you? What's your number? What's your information?
Sure. Reach me through LinkedIn, and the name is Julie, Julie. Last name is Latouf, Latouf. F as in Frank. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Julie.
Have a wonderful day, everyone.
So that was the amazing Julie Latouf with us today. I know we covered a lot of ground today. We talked about global markets. We talked about influencer marketing. And we talked to this amazing girl, Julie. So if you have any questions, you guys know where to find me. It's info@boutiquedigitalmarketing.com if you want to email me. If you want to give us a call, it's 909-333-5116. Once again, info@boutiquedigitalmarketing.com. 909-333-5116. I'm Rita Sekali, and I look forward to being with you next week.